afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to this episode of the Interop Radio Hot Stage Diaries. This is page 5 of the diaries. 1 full week of the behind-the-scenes look at Hot Stage, and it's been an exciting week of radio, I've got to tell you, from our first episode on Monday, introducing the series, to Tuesday, when we had some, well, challenging wireless local area network issues, to Wednesday, when we explained those issues, yesterday, when we talked about what happens when you reboot the core routers of a network, and we got a chance to meet one of the vendors of the InteropNet, Infoblox. Today we continue. We're going to meet another member of the InteropNet team, and we're going to meet another one of our vendors. Should be a good show. And one of the things I want to tell you, I think I've mentioned before, Hot Stage happens inside a warehouse. Now, that means that in addition to configuring equipment and putting equipment in racks, we actually have forklifts moving large cases around, large pieces of equipment. And one of the things that happens is that some very large armored cable is being pulled off of spools, measured, relayed on the cable so that when we get to Las Vegas, it can be deployed very readily. Here's the problem, at least from the radio point of view. When that cable is being pulled off the very large reels, and we're talking reels that are probably 4 feet in diameter, it makes a sound not unlike that you imagine might be made by a whale in distress. You may hear it during our show today. You will almost certainly hear it during one of the interviews that I conducted that I will play today. So don't worry, no whales were harmed in the making of this episode, but that's just one of the things that happens when you're doing radio from the middle of a live industrial scene. Well, it's Friday, so I don't want to waste time. I do want to start out with an introduction to yet another of the people and companies that help us put the InteropNet together. I had a chance to sit down and talk with Tim Titus of Path Solutions, and he's going to talk about one of those components of the network that a lot of people might not be familiar with, but trust me, it's important to making sure that all of the attendees who come to Interop have a smooth experience. So here's my interview with Tim Titus. So I'm sitting here today in the warehouse at Hot Stage, and I'm talking with Tim Titus. Now, Tim, I know that you play a big role in what's going on here at the InteropNet. So can you tell us what you do and what your company does?
Sure. So I'm a chief technology officer of Path Solutions. What we're doing for Interop is we're doing general network performance monitoring, but more importantly, what we're actually enabling is root cause troubleshooting of the InteropNet. Now, people wonder, gee, you know, performance monitoring has been done to death by a bunch of companies out there. The thing that's really unique, though, is that when you have a network that you have to build in a very short amount of time by folks that haven't necessarily worked together as a team in the past, and need to be working perfectly in time for the show to be set up to support a large network, it's all about troubleshooting. Because you've got glitches, little problems here and there that if you don't get on and fix, you're going to have a really bad environment when it comes time to pull the curtains up.
Now, I know that with the InteropNet, that is a very dynamic environment. You've got all kinds of attendees who are going to be coming into the network and going off. You've got frankly, a lot of the vendors who are sitting there on the show floor, a lot of the exhibitors who will be doing things on and off the network. Does that make the InteropNet any more challenging than a standard enterprise network, or is this kind of run-of-the-mill stuff for you?
I'm going to say it's more challenging in general because it's like this is the racetrack that you put your cars on and say, let's win some races. Let's actually see how things go here in a high-performance, mission-critical type of environment so that when it actually comes down to somebody using this in their environment, they're able to say, gee, I can run a stable network because everything's been tested at the track. So I look at InterOp as saying it's a fantastic proving ground for all sorts of new technology, and we're honored by the fact that we were selected to be the technology to enable root cause troubleshooting and make things a lot easier as far as diagnosing problems in the network rapidly. But it's really, in one sense, you're going to have a lot more strange problems come up in this environment due to vendors not interacting well with each other, or one vendor's card doesn't connect with another vendor's device. So there's a lot of creative troubleshooting that needs to happen quickly, and that's something that we're all over.
Now, I know that there are companies who have products that will do things like throw large volumes of pseudo traffic out on the network to do testing. Companies, you know, like say the Ixias and Spirants of the world. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of monitoring and testing that you're talking about, or are you doing something else?
We're doing something else. It's actually very interesting you brought up that point, is that when you're sending synthetic traffic on the network, what you're doing is you're attempting to validate that everything is perfect. So you flood the network with this traffic and find out that, gee, everything is not perfect. What you're doing is you're confirming that you have a problem. The very next step, though, is to try and find out where are the bottlenecks, where are the failures of this network to be able to provide that sort of performance, and the Ixias and the Spirants can't look into the root cause and say, here is the exact bottleneck. Whereas that's exactly what we're designed to do, and that's kind of our unique point, is being able to do the root cause troubleshoot of saying, okay, they've proven that there's a problem in this network. You can't get 10 gigs through from end to end. We're going to be able to tell you, here's the reason you can't get it through. It's this switch, it's this interface, and it's this misconfiguration. And again, it could be 10,000 interfaces and 1,000 switches. We're going to be able to tell you exactly where that problem is happening and why in plain English.
Now, that last piece seems to me to be very important, because I know there's a lot of monitoring that goes on where one of the chief problems is in dealing with the sheer volume of data that comes back and is available to the network administrators. It seems to me that especially on a very large network, you could run into something similar. I can imagine a scenario where you're just generating huge volumes of information. What do you do to allow a network administrator or network manager to figure out which of those pieces of information are important and which can simply be filed for later retrieval should something need to be figured out in retrospect?
Right. So it's interesting you mentioned that. Is in the world today, you have a whole bunch of companies doing big data analysis, and the purpose of big data analysis is to determine what's interesting and what's not. Because you might be sitting on terabytes worth of data and say, you got to troll through all this to find out the one needle in a haystack that you're looking for. We're doing the same thing for your network's performance envelope. We're looking at the entire infrastructure, all ports, all switches, all routers, the configuration of those ports. We're collecting 18 different error counters on every one of those interfaces, no matter whether it's the equipment is Cisco, Foundry, Brocade, Juniper, Extreme, Dell, whatever that equipment is, we're pulling this data back, analyzing it, and saying, here's what you ought to be concerned about. And what we do is we have what's called a daily network weather report email that comes out every morning so that a network engineer can sit down and say, here is the state and health and performance of my network, so I can work on the critical ones first and the less critical ones later. we also have all of the connectedness, so we can actually tell you, gee, this port here where you're dropping packets, there's a PC plugged in there. You might not be very concerned. But we're also able to tell you, it's not a PC. This is actually a trunk port to your server core, and you've got 1,000 MAC addresses on that. Yeah, you need to fix that because that's going to affect a lot of users. So we allow you to prioritize what work you should do immediately versus put off to later.
Now, I can't help but notice that for a network the size of InteropNet, which strikes me as being perhaps not the very largest network in existence, but not a tiny network either, that you do have more than one of your appliances sitting here. And is that something that is by design in order to handle the volume of traffic? Is there an HA component? Talk to me a little bit about the way you're deploying in the network.
So we do have two physical servers here, but it's really just to have a backup in case one fails. We could set it up for HA. I don't know if we're going to get to that this year because the requirements are not really there for that. But our requirements for actually monitoring a network of this size is, I'm going to say, almost jokingly ridiculous. Something we did last year, and I think we're going to play around with doing this year, is we had a little 1 gigahertz netbook with 1 gig of RAM running Windows XP, and we had that machine configured to monitor the entire InteropNet network. It took us about 15 minutes to get deployed and have that entire infrastructure monitored. And at the end of 15 minutes, we could show, here's some of the defects, here's some of the problems we found. And so we went to those engineers and started addressing the issues right then and there. But we're kind of excited by the fact that we have such a lightweight footprint as far as deployment. What that means for folks in the business world is you don't have to go out and buy a $10,000 server to run this on. You don't need to allocate a huge portion of your virtual machine to run this. A very lightweight deployment gets you an incredible amount of visibility, and that's by design of how we built the software. It's all coded in C, it's very processor efficient, and the intent there is to make it easier to support, so you don't need a lot of babysitting, and also you can deploy it on really low-end hardware, which means you're going to save money on implementation.
You talked about the lightweight nature. So I know that there exist some monitoring solutions that involve sensors that are placed out at various points on the network. Are you pulling the information directly from the endpoints and the network appliances and network nodes themselves, or do you use a sensor architecture?
So we don't use sensors, so you don't have any remote boxes to deploy. What we're doing is we're pulling the SNMP data off of your existing switches and routers that already exist in your network. The difference is, though, is that the average monitoring solution is going to get you some utilization and they'll get you some up-down status. What we're doing is we're going to augment that by collecting all of the error counters. We're going to collect the spanning tree information, the routing tables, the bridge tables, the ARP cache information, 18 error counters, all of the information that you'd want to know about the network, but typically you can't get out of a traditional network monitoring solution. That way you have the complete picture, and you're able to know here's what's going on because you're aware of it.
Outstanding. Well, last question. Well, one of the things I'm asking our vendor partners here, I know that many companies, while they're at InteropNet, do some education, do some training, do some various classes of sorts. Are you doing anything like that at InteropNet?
Yeah, actually, we have a couple of things going on. In our booth, we're going to have customers talking about how they benefited from the solution. That's going to happen every hour. I'm also going to be doing an overview once per day. But we also are going to have a NOC theater speaking session, so we'll talk about how we're monitoring the InteropNet show. And in addition to that, we're going to have an overview of root cause troubleshooting, what sort of tools you want to select, good methodology, as well as a little bit of an overview of our product, in a speaking session on Wednesday afternoon.
Outstanding. We'll certainly look forward to that and look forward to having a chance to talk with you while we're at the show itself.
Good deal. Thank you, Curtis.
Well, Tim Titus, thank you so much for being with us here on InteropNet Radio's The Hot Stage Diaries. You know, it was fascinating having Tim as our guest here because The PATH solution boxes are the kind of component that truly most people hope they never need, but any rational network administrator or manager knows that they're going to need. I mean, networks are complex things. Enterprise networks are exceptionally complex things. And as we know from lots and lots of examples, complex things break. When those things break, or even better, when they start to degrade, so that if you're watching correctly, you can get an indication that they are about to break, then you absolutely positively want to know about it. That's what PATH Solutions does. That's what makes it an important piece of the overall InterOp net. While we're starting to talk with some of the vendors, and we'll have more in the coming week, we're going to continue meeting the people who make up the InterOpNet team. Now, my next interview is with someone who I have known for a long time because he's been part of the InterOpNet team for a long time. Mark Sullivan is one of the people that you're actually likely to see if you come to the Network Operations Center at InterOp. The reason that you're likely to see him is that he tends to be front and center, answering questions, helping people, helping the other members of the InterOpNet team do what needs to be done. Well, I talked with him for a few minutes, got him to explain what he does and why he does it on the InterOpNet team. Here's my very short introduction to Mark Sullivan.
My name is Mark Sullivan. I'm an independent contractor. I work for a company called Informatic Groups. One of the things that we do at Informatic Group, which is kind of unique in the industry, is we do technical carve-outs for corporations. So when a company gets sold away or gets bought into, usually they don't have an infrastructure, and we go in and heal that environment and set up a new structure. Well, usually I bring everybody coffee, and they tend to appreciate that. I drive them around town, but actually in the warehouse, one of the things that I'm responsible is general logistics in terms of, you know, the basic establishment of the network, and then going around and kind of filling in, you know, the blank spots. So we have a lot of experts here, and I kind of fill in the holes and provide some of the glue between all of those individuals. So InterOp itself, it's kind of funny what will happen a lot of times with the leads. We've all done this for a number of years, and as a result of that, we all kind of have this knowledge of just what needs to get done, and each of us kind of naturally gravitates towards you know where we're comfortable and what we like to do. My specific responsibility at this show will be the deployment of the wireless network. Sure. So I've been involved with InterOp from probably about 1997 as an attendee, and I started participating in the volunteer program in 2004. Well, okay, so one thing that is, it's always good to get into an environment where people generally leave their egos at the door, and you can kind of learn a lot from each other. You can walk up to any engineer and have a good engineering dialogue with anybody else about what they're an expert at and get information that you might not have yourself. Nobody can walk into this environment and have all knowledge of all things. So believe it or not, a lot of times, you know, most people come into the room and don't want to say what they don't know. And one of the things that's really nice about InterOp is you can just literally walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know what? Everybody probably assumes I'm an expert on this type of technology, and I'm certainly not, and I know that you are. So I'm more than happy to, you know, so would you be willing to impart some of your expertise back to me so that I can really start to know where I need to go to find and add to that knowledge? That's really simple. The people and the contacts and the camaraderie, and it really is a fraternity of people that over time have really naturally come together to build something that's really kind of exciting over the years, and now we have kind of become the maintainers of that, and it's just exciting to be able to spend time with those people, both in their presence during the shows and certainly online during the year.
If you've been listening to our episodes through the week, you notice a real theme beginning to unfold here among all of the people that we're talking to. When you ask the folks who make up the InteropNet team why they do it, when you ask them what they get out of it, sure, they might mention some technical expertise. They might mention the information that comes from being able to touch lots of different bits of networking kit. But they obviously and consistently come back to the people. It's the ability to interact with peers, the ability to share information, and often the ability to simply ask questions with no judgment. You hear a lot of people say, folks, check their egos at the door. And I've watched that in progress and in process for a number of years. I'm sitting here among many of the people who have had a hand in building, designing, architecting the components that make up the heart of the modern enterprise network. And those people are there sharing information, asking questions, being part of a team with folks who might often be college students right out of college. Seeing that sharing, seeing the willingness to teach and the willingness to ask the questions so you can learn is something that, frankly, it's part of my favorite part of being around the InteropNet team. I can't tell you how much I've learned being allowed to be part of this group over the past decade or so. Well, this is five full pages in our Hot Stage Diary, and there are five more pages to go. We're also, I think, going to continue this at Interop. You know, I think having had the Hot Stage Diary, there's no reason not to have the Interop Diary. Let me know what you think about that. I would be very interested in your opinion. Well, we're going to take the weekend off, although we're not taking the weekend off here at the warehouse. The building of the InteropNet and the transition to the building of the SDN lab will continue through the weekend. But we'll be back here on Interop Radio, the Hot Stage Diaries, Monday at this same time, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Before we go, I do want to remind everyone that the Hot Stage Diaries are part of the online radio component of the Interop community. Interop Las Vegas, connecting the IT community, will come to you April 27th through May 1st, 2015, at the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information on the conference and to register, go to www.interop.com. And when you register, remember, use our special promo code, RADIO. It's only available to those who are listening to Interop Radio, and it will get you a great discount on your full conference admission. Well, for all of us here at Interop, at the InteropNet, and the Hot Stage Diaries, I'm Kurt Franklin saying thanks very much for being with us. We'll see you Monday.